Lord, we want to ask you to bless the offering and the tithes and pray a blessing over each person that's here. God, there are some that are not here because they're sick, they're recovering from operations. You know who they are. We're asking a blessing on them right now in Jesus' name. If you'll turn to Mark 16 and 16, this morning's message was just absolutely outstanding, just phenomenal. It's the foundation of the church, and we're going to look at some foundations of the church tonight. There'll be many scriptures that you already are familiar with, but you know, we need to review and review and review and continue to do the same things over and over. You know, as you continue to do the same thing, you continue to worship like you do and give like you do and pray and read the word. If you keep going in a straight line, eventually you get into a rut. When I was in the service, I dug many ruts. They were called foxholes. And if the enemy come, you would be in this foxhole, which would be a protection for you. That's what a rut would do for you. When you continue to do the same thing over and over again, it is a protection for you. So Mark 16 and 16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So baptism is required to be saved. "But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents or have the power over the serpent. And if they drink any deadly thing," if another thought comes into your mind from the airways, "it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." We talked about Brother Fitch this morning, 20 years ago, died. Signs and wonders. "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." The last thing he said, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with" what? "Signs following." And then Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 19, it says, "And I will show wonders in the heaven above." Think about it. "I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke." Lord, we ask your blessing on your word. Lord, that you touch it, anoint it, make it alive for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have an app on my phone and I get updates of news and things that are happening in the world, as most of you do. And one of the things that I got, I think it was yesterday, it was kind of shocking to me. The headline was, "Shocking video of pyramid-shaped UFOs is real and part of the ongoing examination," the Pentagon says. "Leaked videos of UFOs soaring through the sky took the internet by storm this week, and now the Department of Defense is confirming the videos are legitimate and were taken by Navy personnel in 2019, according to CNN. One grainy video captured a blinking pyramid-shaped object mid-flight, while other photos show three other UFOs described as metallic blimps, a sphere-shaped object, and one that resembles an acorn in the sky. Pentagon spokesman told CNN the videos and images are part of their ongoing examination of UFOs. The Department of Defense created the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force in August to investigate such sightings. I thought they would never say anything like that would be legitimate. It says UFO sightings have surged this past year amid the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic as people spend more time outdoors. Referring to data from the National UFO Reporting Center, the New York Times reported that more than 7,200 incidents were reported, which is 1,000 more than the year prior. They said that weather and visual disturbances can sometimes explain UFO sightings, but there are instances where we don't have good explanations for some of the things that we've seen. It's not just a pilot or a satellite or some intelligent collection. Usually, we have multiple sensors that are picking up these things, he added. They're unexplained phenomena, and there's actually quite a few more than have been made public. Aren't you glad you came tonight? We're going to talk about UFOs. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you also turn to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Each of us are a phenomenon. We are... well, just different than anybody else. We operate in the supernatural. And the closer God gets, the more you're going to find that there is going to be, there's going to be greater miracles, signs, and wonders. Glory to God. In fact, first of all, let's go to Ezekiel, the first chapter. Ezekiel chapter 1. Starting in verse number 13. Now, this is a vision that God gave Ezekiel. It says, "As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightnings. And the living creatures ran and returned as appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creature with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their works were like unto the color of beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their works was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel." Now, most UFO sightings were like saucers inside a saucer. Now, this isn't a new doctrine, but I'm telling you, I don't believe there's life on another planet, folks. There is another planet that's occupied by angels right now. There is another planet that we're going to go to at one time. But I don't believe there's intelligent beings outside of this planet. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings. They were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went thither. They was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Interesting. We find in Nahum 2 and 4 that the prophets saw freeways 2,000 years before they happened, and described the freeways as lightnings in the broadways. Glory to God. This was the form in which God appeared to Ezekiel. It signified God's glory, his power, his sovereignty, his majesty, his holiness. Wanted to get the attention of the prophet, a power from another world, if you will. Angels appearing like burning fire, the fire so bright that they went forth as lightnings. They would stop and then they would start. It said they ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Could it be that God wants to get the attention of this world? Thinking, what is going on here? There's no logical information or explanation. And just before Jesus comes, there's going to be signs and wonders, and there's going to be miracles. Yes, there is life on another planet. It just happens to be moving towards us as we're getting ready to leave this world. Folks, just 2 years ago, we have pictures of an angel standing in this door over here. God wants to make himself very plain to us that there are heavenly bodies. Turn to John 3 and 16. This is probably the most quoted scripture in the entire Bible, but by all Christians. For God so loved the world, that is this planet, the planet that he created, the planet that he brought life to, that he gave his only. You know what only means? It means only. Only begotten or beginning flesh, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, God died for us on this planet. Not any other planets, just this world. Glory to God. And now, God knew that there would be questions of who would be the true believer, who would be the legitimate truth, who would be the heir of everything that God died for, and he wanted to make sure that people understood, and there are signs and wonders and miracles that take place in God's church just to identify who we are. Glory to God. Well, I think we're the true church. Well, do you have these signs following you? Any dead people raised from the dead? Hallelujah. Do you speak in a language that you've never learned? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 14. Verse number one, it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. So listen to this. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. It is our language, our special communication between God and us. You may have a different language than me, but nevertheless, it is a communication that I have with God. It is not for the edification or information for people. It's between you and God. But unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So we find that God identifies why he has given us this sign of tongues. It is a communication with God, but every time we speak in tongues, it fortifies and elevates our faith and strength in God because we recognize this is a miracle coming out of my mouth. Amen. John 3 and 8. We find that Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born of the water and born of the Spirit. And then verse number 7 says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And then it goes on to explain what's going to happen when you're born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So the word sound here in the original Greek means language. So the wind bloweth, or the Holy Ghost moves where it decides to move, and thou hearest the language thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. But so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Glory to God. We're going to have a language. Amen. God made it very plain in his word. There would be signs following the true church. There's going to be miracles. There's going to be deliverance. There's going to be healings. They would speak with new tongues. You're going to see the miraculous happening. Maybe there's going to be some external miracles that are going to shake up this world. What could this be? Can we defend ourselves against it? Could it be angels like lightning? Hallelujah. Sometimes I get telephone calls or texts from people who tell me that their relatives don't have the evidence that we should receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Well, the problem isn't with us. The problem is with them not believing what the Word of God says. When I came into the church, I said this just not too long ago, I believed this word, thank God, but I never was exposed to or had an experience of speaking with other tongues, and yet I had to say there are people all around me in this Pentecostal church that were speaking in other tongues, and I believed it. It was just hard for me to believe that it was going to happen to me, but then I left the doubters and joined the shouters. It'd be very hard for someone to convince you that this isn't real, you see. Hallelujah. Now, I have, I believe many years ago, we were ministering at the Fond du Lac Church, and someone came in for the first time. I've mentioned this story before, and just raised their hands, and God filled them with the Holy Ghost. Nobody told them about it, but when you get to the place, Brother Paul Dorflinger, where all of a sudden you feel a touch of God and you let it happen to you, something's going to happen. Glory to God. Because Acts 2 and 18 tells us in the last days God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Now, I know many have heard teaching on tongues, but consider the importance of our birth certificate, how important this really is to each and every one of us. Take a look at Romans, the 8th chapter. If you've heard this before, well, just let it dial in again. Romans 8 and 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hallelujah. So we find that we could pray for something that we don't even know about. It seems like the only thing that prohibits God from actually taking action on a request is somebody not praying it. I remember it's a long time ago, there would be people who would say unspoken requests. I'm thinking, what good is an unspoken request? You know, we need to have people pray for something specifically, because you have not, because you ask not. Amen. If you'll turn to Matthew 10 and 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Amen. It seems like it's so easy to just open your mouth and speak in another language, because you don't have to think. It's the Spirit of God that brings forth the words. Amen. Don't let this just become another thing we do in church. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, and supplication for all saints in the Spirit. As I was walking back and forth Saturday morning at the altar praying and listening to people speaking in another language, understanding that this is all miraculous, what a beautiful and profound sound it is to hear us praying in the Spirit, a supernatural heavenly language given to us at our spiritual birth. A continued personal connection with our Savior. The world doesn't have this privilege, but the bride has the privilege of whispering in the ear of the groom. It's the most intimate part of our relationship with our God. The most intimate part. Just God and you. No one else is privileged to the words you speak to your God. Hallelujah. If you want to get close to God, speak in the Spirit. I never want to take this privilege for granted. And 1 Corinthians 14 and 18 says, I thank God, that's what Paul's saying, I thank God I speak with tongues more than ye all. It is not a one-time experience. It's not just the first year you're saved. It's not just, well, when we have a great move of God's Spirit, but it should be a continual conversation with God. We read His Word, but we need to communicate with God as well. When you don't like somebody, you don't talk to them. If you have an argument with somebody, you just, well, you shouldn't, but you just don't. God was so angry at Israel that he didn't talk to him for 400 years. Glory to God. I recently said I prayed prayers in the natural that perhaps weren't probably a good prayer to pray. But never when I prayed in the Spirit was I off. It's the Spirit of God which maketh intercession for me according to what? The will of God. A direct line with God, so private that no one else can listen. The enemy of our soul doesn't know what we're asking for. Hallelujah. Amen. I am so old that when I was a child, we had a party line. You'd have to pick up the phone and see if there was somebody on the line, you know. And you know, I'm sure there were some who just, their entertainment, no internet at the time. Well, let's listen to whoever is talking. Well, there is no party line with God. It's always a direct line. Now, we all have witnessed the irate customer chewing out a server or a sales clerk who most likely didn't have anything to do with the problem itself. It just irritates me when I hear that kind of thing. Or angry words exchanged between family members who later regretted their outburst, or parents who publicly, without mercy, berate their children. Or even worse, a spouse putting down their husband or wife in front of others. It makes me angry. What power exists in the smallest but most unruly member of the human body is the tongue, and sometimes there's an ugly spirit that uses the tongue rather than a godly spirit. It is the power God gave the human tongue. Amen. From the very moment of birth of the church on the day of Pentecost, God established and consistently maintained speaking with tongues as the evidence and an individual would receive the Holy Ghost. It's always been the same sign. Amen. And I'm so glad that God changes not. You know, people get the same experience that they got 2,000 years ago. Amen. We know that. Does tongues divide us from religion and the other world? Absolutely. It really does. Tongues like as a fire. Glory to God. Take a look at Acts 2. I keep reminding myself that now our preaching goes beyond these walls. This is an outreach more than we've ever had, and thank God for COVID-19, if I can say that, you know, not to the extent of people getting sick, but it forced us to do something that God wanted us to do a long time ago. So what we're preaching in this contained building now goes outside, and there are many, many, many people who have never heard this. Glory to God. So Acts 2 and 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, there are some who say, well, that just doesn't happen anymore. Well, tell me, show me, where in the Scripture does it say that's over, it's done with, you see? Verse 3, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues." The word cloven means a process of dividing. You find that this has a process of separating us from all other religions. These are signs that follow them that believe. Tongues like as fire, not a fire, but like fire. The word fire here in the Greek is lightning from above or power from above, and it sat or dwelled upon each and every one of them. So when we were filled with the Holy Ghost, we had a power that came from above, like lightning, if you will, a gift from God that endued us with power in order to be the church, the signs and wonders and miracles. We were endued with this power after the Holy Ghost came upon us, and it said, "But ye shall receive power," in Acts 1 and 8. Dunamis, where we get the word dynamite, power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But speaking in tongues is not the only sign that we receive when we get the Holy Ghost. We also manifest and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. There's a change that happens in us. Glory to God. I've seen people who still speak in other tongues, but they have no evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in their life. Something's wrong. So take a look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Is that describing us? Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. God was very angry at a fig tree that didn't produce fruit. And just because we're baptized in Jesus' name, you see, and been filled with the Holy Ghost, there needs to be fruit. There needs to be this display of gentleness, love, meekness. Ephesians 5 and 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And we will also magnify the love of God by His Spirit within us. John 13 and 35, Jesus said, by this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now, as Jesus established His church among the Jews and the Samaritans and the Gentiles, there was an order to it. He set a pattern that would remain constant throughout the church age. First, the Jews spoke in tongues when they received the Holy Ghost in Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. Then the Samaritans spoke in tongues when they received the Holy Ghost in Acts, the 8th chapter. Then the Samaritans were Jews who married Gentiles. Then the Gentiles at the house of Cornelius spoke in tongues and magnified God in Acts 10, 44 through 48. Also, the Ephesians, disciples of John the Baptist, received the Holy Ghost after they were rebaptized in Jesus' name, and Paul laid hands on them, and they spoke in tongues in Acts 19 and 6. There's evidence of all of these. Whoever was filled with the Holy Ghost had a sign. They had evidence that they got the Holy Ghost, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Clearly, God has established a biblical pattern, and it remains a constant throughout all nations, cultures, and ethnic backgrounds. I've been in other countries, and it always happens exactly the same way. Glory to God. Amen. We were in Mexico a few years ago, and I think a girl, she must have been about 12 or 13, was filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in English. It was so cool. Didn't know any English at all, and there she spoke in English. I'm glad God has not changed His manner. I'm glad He hasn't changed His method. I'm glad I don't have to wonder, you know, why is it different that I am filled with the Holy Ghost now than those who got it 2,000 years ago. I got the Holy Ghost just like they did at the beginning. Apparently, at the time of everyone's new birth experience, God has established a common identifier as to who are the real church. So there is no question as to whether or not we receive His Spirit. Peter said in Acts 10 and 47 in a New International Version, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Ghost just as we have, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Amen. I got the evidence. Hallelujah. It is a moment frozen in time. Amen. Glory to God. Someone once said, God invented time so everything didn't happen at once. But I remember where I was, when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, and I remember the feeling that I had. We need to go back there from time to time. It is an engraved image in our minds forever to influence our life on a constant basis. However, the Holy Ghost does not render us helpless robots operated by God. Rather, the Spirit lives within us to guide us and direct us and influence our decisions as long as we're willing, you see. God doesn't, you know, and there's been some people who have been praying for the Holy Ghost for literally years, and they think that God is going to do it all. God is just going to kind of knock them out, and then they're going to wake up, and somebody will tell them they spoke in other tongues. Well, no, you have to cooperate. You need to say the first word in your mind, and the rest will simply come. It's an operation in faith just like miracles or any other sign. Hallelujah. So why tongues? The writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 18 and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. People can give the gift of renewed purpose and life throughout their spoken words, or kill others with the power of the spoken word. We have the power to operate in the Spirit to give life to other people, but then there's the flip side. We can use that tongue in order to hurt people. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. It seems that God chose speaking with tongues as the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost for a reason. When we consider the power God placed in the individual tongue, it seems logical that God would want to strongly influence that unruly member of the body. So if he can control your tongue, then he can control you. And we evidence that when we're speaking in this other language, but then beyond that, in the natural language, if you cannot control your tongue, is God controlling you? But at our new birth, we have a power to control that. Because God knows that if we can control our tongue, he can then control us. Amen. Turn to a very familiar scripture in James, the third chapter. James 3, starting in verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. You can't take information from all kinds of people because it'll just confuse you. We have a book. I said it Wednesday. This is a Bureau of Standards for what's acceptable by God. It's really a compilation of the thoughts of God. Here's my thought on this subject, you see. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Part of the power of God in us is that we would submit to him and obey him. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is the fire. Same word that was in Acts 2 and 3. A world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Now, man can't tame it, but God can. Hallelujah. I remember the first weeks after being filled with the Holy Ghost, being in the office, and people are using foul language, and it was like, oh, please, please, don't use the name of the Lord in vain. It hurts me because I have a spirit of God in me that's offended by these things. Wherewith bless we God, even the Father, therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs, so can a fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Hallelujah. So we see that the controlling of our tongue is the greatest evidence that the Holy Ghost has taken up residency in us, and that we have the fruit of spirit. Our character, our attitude has changed because of the power of God in us. We're not just talking about speaking in other tongues, but keeping our tongue from speaking words that hurt or cause strife in other people's life. How can you say that if you say you're spirit-filled? James says in James 1 and 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Hallelujah. We're going to be accountable for every word that we say. Now, there's a difference in the gift of tongues, and tongues as a sign of receiving the Holy Ghost. And so many people who aren't taught this just go back to referring to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, when it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And not everyone who is filled with the Holy Ghost has the gift of tongues or interpretation, but they do have the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost. Something is wrong with our walk with God if we can speak in tongues and later speak negative things about somebody who's in the church. James 3 and 10 said, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings, or to say hateful things. My brethren, these things ought not be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? We are constantly trying to keep this flesh in check. And you won't get the victory until you get out of these bodies. So we need as much influence in our life as we possibly can. And I'm telling you, the Bible says that we build up ourselves in our Holy Ghost by speaking in other tongues. And I believe the best way to do that is to allow God to control our tongue, not only in the sense that we're speaking in his language, but that we are cognizant always of what are we about to say to somebody. Is it going to help or is it going to hurt? We desperately need the influence of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Amen. I don't know how someone who doesn't have the power of the Holy Ghost consistently lives for God, you see, because We need that power. God knew we need that power. And God knew that we would have to be identified, according to Mark 16 and 17, that these signs will follow them that believe, you know? Oh, well, I don't have to do that. But God said these things would happen. So we have to continue to surrender our tongue to the Spirit of God. Amen. I would hope that everybody in here on a daily basis is able to pray in their prayer language, if you will, because it will keep you. And if you haven't, you need to reestablish that. You can. Glory to God. I got the Holy Ghost on a Sunday night. I had been praying for the Holy Ghost for probably 2 months. I wore out a few people at the altar, you know, who were praying with me. When I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I turned around. There must have been 50 people around me praying. And if I took a breath in and it came out in this beautiful language. Now, some people just get an utterance and then it develops into a language later, but if you've been in the church for a while, God has perfected a beautiful language within you. You know, the baby comes out and cries, and yes, that's when it takes in its first breath, but later it wouldn't just be crying. You need to have some words that explain something, you see. But I remember going home, and there were a couple of people who wanted to come to my house to celebrate this guy getting the Holy Ghost, who seemed to be impossible. And the first thing I did is go into the bathroom to see if this thing worked at home as well. And I remember getting to church early to see if it'll work again. And now, hallelujah. I've been going to Mexico for over 40 years, and I know Baño, La Quinta, you know, and I'm ashamed that I don't know the language. Glory to God. I've been in stores where there have been people from all over the country and speaking in another language, and I feel like I just need to show off a little bit, you know. Use it or lose it. It's part of the power that you have. Hallelujah. Saturday mornings are so important. There's a lot of people who put it on their schedule. They wouldn't miss it. We've had snowstorms. We've had beautiful days, and they still show up. Because for 1 hour, we let God take control of our tongue. God can empower us to control the words that we speak and the power that emanates from us. We have experienced this in the spirit. We need to experience it in the natural as well. God alone can take control of my tongue. I didn't think it was possible. But he does. And even to this day, I am so impressed when I open my mouth and speak in a language that I've never learned. How can this happen to me? But it's God within me. I thank God that I speak in tongues every day. It keeps this flesh in check, folks. It really does. There is an app on my phone in case I lose it. You know, they'll find it. But I'm more concerned about losing my attachment to God. And it's like every time I have this phenomena of communicating with God this way, it just brings us closer than ever before. Amen. We're privileged people, folks. We really are. Glory to God. I thank God I speak in tongues. Amen. As the Spirit give the utterance. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark it down. There's going to be somebody who is going to ask you, now, why do you speak in tongues? Is it really biblical? You know, maybe this message, maybe you should get the CD or the DVD or somehow record it so you can have the evidence. You can have the scriptures. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? There was a time, and some of you have experienced this as well, where you get so deep in God that God not only gives you words that you can speak, but words that you can sing. I've been in church where God's given me a song and words in the Spirit. I knew it was Him. There was this joy that came to me that was just absolutely incredible, because God enjoys our company, folks. He really does. Amen. So tonight, maybe you want to renew some things. Maybe if you haven't spoken in another language for a while, why don't you just ask God? You have not because you ask not. Just come to this altar and say, God, I want to experience this all over again. It wasn't enough just to get it when I was filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not enough that I had it a year ago or 3 years ago, but I want to be refreshed again. I want to build up on my holy. The altar's open. Would you come?